You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey everybody, welcome to Netflix Life, a streaming TV podcast from Fansided. I'm your host, Cody Schultz, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, Netflix Life editor and co-host of the CW Spiral podcast, Reed Gowdens. Welcome, Reed.
Hi, Cody.
So Netflix finally dropped our March release slate, and it's kind of an interesting mix, I'll confess. So I'm excited to just dive in, see what's coming this month, get your reaction to some of the hot takes. But before we dive into our predictions and top, you know, must-watch shows of this week, let's take a look at the full list. So this is the list of every Netflix show and movie coming in March 2020. I'll point out this is just the original list, so there's a ton of other titles coming that are non-originals, but here's what you can expect in March. So we've got The Guardians of Justice, Worst Roommate Ever, Savage Rhythm, Making Fun, Lies and Deceit Season 1, Against the Ice, Surviving Paradise, A Family Tale, The Weekend Away, Pieces of Her Season 1, The Andy Warhol Diaries, Queer Eye Germany, Byron Bays, The Last Kingdom Season 5, Love, Life, and Everything in Between, Formula One Drive to Survive Season 4, The Adam Project, Life After Death, Krakow Monsters Season 1, Bad Vegan, Pedal to the Metal, Rescued by Ruby, Human Resources Season 1, Windfall, Is It Cake, Top Boy Season 2, Young, Famous, and African Season 1, Black Crab, and then Bridgerton Season 2. I feel like that's a lot of titles coming, but there's no denying that, of course, the big one is Bridgerton Season 2. I think this is the one I'm most excited about. Would you say that's probably the same for you?
Yeah, I think that's the same for a lot of people because this list is long, but there's not a whole lot of stuff to grab onto. And Bridgerton coming at the end of the month is just, you know, it keeps us waiting through a whole month of not a whole lot to add to your watch list unless you're like, what is this show? I guess I'll watch that. But yeah, Bridgerton, it feels like we've been waiting forever, even though it's only been about a year. But yeah, that's the biggest one that I'm looking forward to watching show-wise.
Yeah, I confess when I was like looking at this list, I'm like, there's a lot of titles, but it doesn't feel like there's a lot of titles like that I'm personally excited about. It feels like there's some that could be, I feel like March has the potential to be a sleeper month. Like there's a lot of season ones, there's a lot of new movies, so it definitely could be one where first surprises, but I feel like of like the sure things, Bridgerton definitely is that big title for March. Of course, like you said, we got the first season in December 2020, so just under the radar there, that end of the year. I think it was a Christmas Day release, and so the big anticipation, people wanted to see it sometime in 2021. With the pandemic, like many shows, it kind of was bumped, so I feel like we are anticipating that's going to be the biggest release for March, and I just can't see any of these other movies or shows besting. Like, it's Bridgerton. Like, seeing how big it was in season one, I'm very curious to see how it's going to perform in season two, just because I feel like with season one of any show, you get those fans who are kind of curious and tune in right away, but then you get that word of mouth. And I feel like that's where Bridgerton kind of found its footing, was that people started watching it, it gained more traction on the internet, and it almost was even bigger those first few months of 2021 than it was that initial week when it dropped in December.
Yeah, and I think word of mouth could be a big thing in March with shows like Pieces of Her. I feel like not a lot of people know what that is, myself included. Like, it feels like it's coming way under the radar, but I think it's a thriller show, and those thriller shows tend to, even if you don't expect them, they show up on your watch list. It's 8 episodes. You watch it over a weekend, everyone's talking about it, and I think that could be a dark horse. And I know the fans of The Last Kingdom are really looking forward to this upcoming season. So I'm happy for them to have their show back.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, there's definitely some, you know, can't miss titles. Of course, Bridgerton, we do have Last Kingdom season 5 coming. As you mentioned, you know, the Weekend Away is one I don't think we've talked about yet, but that's coming early March. I think that has some potential. I feel like this month, looking at the list, is a little bit stronger on the movie side than per se the TV side. Like, we've got some big originals coming with, we've got Windfall, we've got Rescued by Ruby, The Weekend Away, The Adam Project, which I feel like could be a big movie. Again, it's got a big cast. So a lot of interesting movies. Is there anyone in particular you're looking forward to of that slate?
The three that I'm looking forward to the most, I would say, are The Adam Project, The Weekend Away, and Windfall. But of those, I have to confess, I know everyone's going to want The Adam Project because it's, you know, it's Ryan Reynolds, it's action, but I love Leighton Meester and I'm really looking forward to The Weekend Away, and I hope they give it the promotion that it deserves, because it feels like it's just kind of slipped in out of nowhere. And other than like one post on her Instagram and like a trailer drop on the official Netflix handles, I haven't really seen anybody talking about it. But I think it'll be a really good like thriller, you know, you throw it on in the background, you spend a Sunday watching it, and I hope it makes an appearance on the top 10.
Yeah, that one's kind of got, it feels like it's in the same boat almost as like Brazen, which I feel like was another one that just kind of snuck in under the radar and didn't really get much buzz. And I feel like part of that was just because Netflix didn't promote it very much. I feel like with some of these movies and shows, it all comes down to promotion and how much Netflix is putting it out there, because that's what gets people talking, you know, for so many of these shows. And of course, there's the algorithm of, you know, recommending different things, but the movies and shows that tend to get the biggest bump, like in the top 10 and like the metrics that they push so much, tend to be the ones that they're putting a lot of promotion about and talking about. And it's a shame that they're not really showing as much love for that one, because like you said, it feels like it's got a lot of great potential to be a hit for them. And so I just kind of hope fans discover it organically on their own.
I'm also really excited for Windfall, which it looks very different. I'm excited to see Lily Collins in something other than Emily in Paris. I have to confess, I haven't really seen her in anything other than that. I love her, and I will now watch her in anything. So I'm excited to see that movie. It's directed by her real-life husband, which I think is really exciting. And the cast looks, it looks like it's going to be different, just like three people, a small thriller. I don't know. I'm excited to check that one out.
Yeah, I was going to say that one definitely kind of had to stand out for us too, just having our girl Emily in there.
Yeah.
Because we love, of course, Emily Paris, the two of you, the two of us do. And I think it is, it's going to be interesting. It's funny to me, I'm curious, like when I was looking into this one, like the cast list one, like you just Google it, like it's very vague character names, like wife, CEO, and nobody is what comes up in Google. And so I'm like, this just adds to the mystery of like, I'm very intrigued by what Netflix has stored here. And I feel like it's always interesting when you get like those smaller casts, because then you, of course, tend to see the more character driven movies. Not that I don't love like huge ensemble movies, but I feel like sometimes those can be like a nice change of pace.
Yeah. And I hope this will be maybe for the people that are Emily haters. We'll check it out and see Lily do something a little bit different than, you know, Emily in Paris.
I have to confess, I don't get the Emily in Paris hate. Like, the show never tries to be something that it isn't. It's just, you know, designed to be a fun, you know, kind of rom-com kind of show. And I don't get why so many people just roast it and just sit back and enjoy it. Like, it's such a fun show. I it's one thing that I just don't understand.
Yeah, took the words right out of my mouth.
But yeah, I think so. I mean, of the movies, I think I have to confess, I am excited for The Adam Project, just because, like you said, Ryan Reynolds.
Oh yeah, that trailer looks amazing. The trailer really sells it.
It doesn't. I have to say, like, I'm not normally one who goes for like time travel and like that kind of an angle with like meeting someone's younger self and all that. But the trailer really pulled me in and made me like, when I saw the cast list, I'm like, okay, this has potential. Because of course we've got Ryan Reynolds, we've got Zoe Saldana. I can't remember who else is in the cast. There's another big
Jennifer
name.
Jennifer Garner, Mark Ruffalo. It's like, it feels like they buried the lead with just putting Ryan Reynolds in the front of the movie.
I knew there was someone else from Marvel, because I'm like, I remember there was like, wow, there's three Marvel actors in this. As a Marvel fan, of course, I have to add that to the list. I feel like it got a really good spot too, because it's coming March 16th, kind of right in the middle of the month. right before St. Patrick's Day. So, of course, if someone's looking for like a good movie St. Patrick's Day weekend, that's, you know, an interesting take because I believe that's a Wednesday, which is, I don't know, I'm not a fan of Wednesday releases, as anyone who follows my tweets knows, just like Disney Plus loves a Wednesday release and I just despise them. It's just harder, I feel like, to watch a show or movie like from the beginning in the middle of a week. Like weekends are easier to binge and for movies and that.
Yeah, I agree with you. That always throws me when I see a new episode of something pop up, even though like I'm so used to watching like regular TV and having like a weekly schedule with like shows on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. When it's on streaming, it's like, oh, okay, so there's a new episode and I don't get to spend my weekend with it. And then the discourse, if I don't watch right away, the discourse takes off and I have to not look.
Yeah, that's definitely the hard thing with streaming movies in general and streaming shows is it's appointment TV still, but it's harder to watch with fellow fans just because people watch it so many different times that it's not like, okay, I know this show is coming on at like 8 o'clock. I have to watch it, you know, or avoid spoilers on Twitter until I get the chance to watch it during that window. But it's harder with streaming movies and shows.
Yeah, I'm not waking up at 3 a.m. to watch a movie or show.
Yeah, I have to confess, I've yet to do that for a Netflix original. I've done it with some of the Disney Plus stuff just because they do make it easier with releasing a single episode. Props to the people who are out there like getting up at 3 a.m. and watching like a whole season of a series. Like, I could never do it myself, like just wake up that early to watch a show, but props to them because that's definitely dedication.
I think some people might be doing that in March with like Good Girls, because I know people have been waiting forever to watch the final season on Netflix. It's been, I believe, a year. I think that was the time span. It comes on Netflix a year after it premieres on NBC. And it'll be interesting to see the reaction, because I know this was one fans were fighting for to come back and it ended abruptly. I myself am a fan and I didn't get to finish the season just because it was, you know, a weird time and they just kept the episodes piled up. So I'm excited to check out the rest of the final season. That's unfortunately the final season.
Yeah, I feel like this one's going to be big when it drops on Netflix. Like you said, the fans were very invested in wanting this one to be saved, kind of like what we saw with Manifest, which I feel like NBC had an interesting season. Like, they canceled Manifest, Good Girls, and Zoe's Playlist around the same time. Like, all of the fans were out there competing to try to save these shows that we all love. And of course, two of the three fandoms were lucky enough to get their shows saved in some way. Zoe getting a wrap-up kind of movie at Roku, and then, of course, Manifest Season 4 coming to Netflix, which I know we're both very excited about.
Yes.
And Good Girls was kind of in that mix of, like, I remember when they announced the cancellation, like, they made it very clear, like, harshly, like, it's not getting saved.
Yeah. Maybe this will reopen the discourse if it ranks in the top 10 long enough.
Yeah, because this one always felt like an easy save for Netflix if they wanted to, because like whenever this show has dropped new seasons on Netflix, they've been consistent performers. They pop up in the top 10 list. People are watching and taking in the shows. I just never understood like why they were so harsh against like, we're not doing anything. Like, this is it. We ended it, so no one else is going to save it. And it's like, I don't get that mentality.
No. Just a 2-hour, they did it for Timeless, like a 2-hour wrap up movie. Like, throw it on Peacock. We'll watch it.
Yeah, definitely. And especially this wasn't a show that was like, you know, one or two seasons in. They were on season 4. I feel like when you get to like around that 4 or 5 mark, like fans have been invested. They deserve some kind of send off. That's just like I could get up on a soapbox and preach about like shows getting proper endings, because I feel like that's something so many networks do, is they just pull the plug on these veteran shows without giving them the chance to wrap things up and give these fans who have been following for years that proper conclusion.
I hope that doesn't like dissuade any fans from watching it. I was kind of on the fence. I was like, do I finish it? I know it doesn't have a justified ending. Like, they just, it was abrupt. And do I want to see how it ends if it's not going to get a real ending? So I'm going to check it out, and I hope other fans that might be on the fence do too.
Yeah. And I feel like it is hard when it comes to like when you know something's ended without a proper conclusion. It's like, because I've struggled with that at times, like, oh, I know it's not going to have a good ending. It's going to end with a cliffhanger. But it's that back and forth. And so, yeah, I hope the fans do. I'm sure they will. I know they were very passionate about trying to save this one. So I'm sure once it drops on Netflix, people are going to just enjoy watching from the beginning and just catching up on season four. Another one we didn't talk about on the movie front kind of leads into a broader conversation about like the Arrowverse is we have Rescued by Ruby coming on March 17th, which stars Grant Gustin. This one's an interesting to me. I thought this was just an acquisition. I did not realize this was a Netflix original until I like started seeing the promotion for it.
Yeah, this one took me by surprise as well. I mean, the more dogs, the merrier, I guess. But there was no buzz around this until it was just one day. It was like, here's the poster, here's the trailer. It's going to be on Netflix. And I was like, okay, cool. Sure.
Yeah, so those who haven't are kind of in the same boat of us and haven't, you know, heard too much about it. It's based on a true story. It is about a state trooper who partners with fellow underdog, a clever but naughty shelter puppy, as he kind of chases his dream to be part of the canine unit. And so it definitely, like, I feel like Grant Gustin's a perfect casting in the role. Just like he's a likable actor. I feel like when you add like a dog into the mix, you want like an actor who, I don't know, is likable. Like if they're like when you bring dogs in, I always fear with dogs. Like I am one of those people who like searches, like, does anything happen to the dog? Because like I can't take that emotional toll when like things happen to dogs in movies and shows. And I always feel weird saying like I can watch a character, you know, something go through something traumatic, but if you hurt an animal, it just, I can't watch. And so I'm always like curious. This feels more like a feel good one.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that that'll be a safe watch on my end.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope we don't need to have like a Cody, please stop watching at an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, just tune out and picture like a happy ending instead. but yeah, speaking of Arrowverse, of course, Grant's the star of The Flash. We do have The Legends of Tomorrow season 7 coming in March, March 10th, which I'm excited for the new season to drop. What's interesting about this is, of course, The Legends of Tomorrow season 7 finale is the same night as the Batwoman finale, but only Legends will be making its way to Netflix that, 8 days after, just because of the HBO Max deal. I really hate that deal. Like, I feel like I miss not having Batwoman alongside all the other Arrowverse shows on Netflix.
It feels incomplete. I even say that as someone who doesn't really watch the Arrowverse. It just feels really incomplete to have some at Netflix, some at HBO. How do you fans do it?
We struggle. it's I think we're at least fortunate that everything that's not on Netflix on the Arrowverse is on HBO Max, because there's some stuff with like how the distribution deal changed. I know, like, I believe Nancy Drew's on Paramount Plus.
I think it's on HBO Max as well too.
Oh, it is on HBO Max.
It's very confusing. I think it's on both. I don't know. I admittedly don't know much about Paramount Plus.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things because, of course, most of the CW shows are Warner Brothers or CBS Studio produced. And so it's like, of course, it's natural to send those their own streaming services ways. I think it's been, we haven't really seen as many of the crossovers since the launch of, you know, Paramount Plus and HBO Max. So I'd be curious to see like how that, that's where I think it really sucks, is like if you're trying to watch one of the crossover events and like you have to go to a different streamer to watch like that show's version of an episode.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, because I don't believe they have any workaround, to my knowledge, at least, like with the Netflix shows. Or like if there's a Batwoman, you know, crossover with one of these shows in the future, because I know the crossovers have kind of been a little, they haven't been able to pull off like to the scale they have in the past just with the pandemic. But it's like when we get to one of those, like the way they break these up, it just feels weird not to have everything just all in one place. You can just go bouncing around to the different, you know, shows. But at least Legends of Tomorrow fans know they can enjoy season 7 once it wraps up. It'll make the drop on Netflix. You can binge watch season 7. You can start from the beginning because, of course, all 7 seasons will then be on Netflix. I feel like that's interesting. Like Good Girls and Legends are really the only two major, like, non-Netflix acquisitions coming this month.
Yeah, it's interesting. Of course, there'll be more later this year, more CW shows. Hopefully more. There are fewer, I would say, shows from other networks, but I hope with things starting to leave Netflix, although this month, Vampire Diary fans, you're safe. You can watch The Vampire Diaries until an undetermined time in the future. But we're seeing fewer shows from other networks, and I hope they start to rethink that, because I don't know how much they can rely solely on their originals when everyone doesn't connect with them. And we always talk about the Netflix bump. Some shows could really use it because they're not, it's not, the HBO Max bump isn't as, not to shade anybody, but it's not as big, I would say.
Yeah, it's true. It's, I think it's getting to that stage of like, it's so hard now because you know, we've got conversations about NBC's looking to pull some of their stuff off of Hulu to move it to Peacock. And it's like all these networks now have their own streaming services. So it's like, of course, it makes sense for them to want their branded stuff to be on their own, you know, services as like an extra addition of like, look, this is the only place you can watch these shows. But I feel like the people that lose out are the fans, like, mm-hmm. and especially Netflix being the first in the game and kind of carving out what is the streaming landscape. I mean, they really did. No shade to anyone else, but they were who revolutionized streaming. And so now that we're seeing these other, you know, brands popping up and kind of pulling their content back, it's that question of like, what does the future look like for Netflix when it comes to like some of their catalogs, knowing that in the past there always was that big, big, you know, blend of Netflix originals. And then all of these shows that we were, you know, were watching and rediscovering through them streaming on Netflix.
Well, we have Good Girls and Legends of Tomorrow to look forward to at the very least.
Yeah, true. So I'm curious, just like looking back, I feel like we talked, you know, February was a little bit quieter. We hoped March might pick up. How would you grade March, just like looking at this list?
Solid B minus. I don't know. There's nothing besides Bridgerton that I'm really like eager and like excited, like actively excited for. And that's like literally a week out from April. So I don't know. Like March is just kind of like, there's also shows that like came out of nowhere. Like, I don't know. What's Byron Bay's? I don't know. Now I'm just dragging Netflix, but we love you, Netflix. But yeah, what about you? What would you grade it? I'm not thrilled.
Yeah, I think you're a little bit more generous than I am. Like, I'm looking at maybe a C, if I'm being nice. And that's only because if we're grading on a curve, like Bridgerton gives it a bump. If you take Bridgerton out of the equation, like, I don't know, I could go as easy as like saying like a D month, just because when you look at like some of these months, like spring generally tends to be when we pick up. And I know we've got like The Last Kingdom is another big one. You know, there's some great acquisitions with Good Girls and Legends and a lot on the movie front. But it's kind of slow and quiet on the show front this month. Bridgerton really is like the only one heading into March. And I'm like ready. I'm counting down the days. Like, I cannot wait to dive into this one, to write about it, to react about it, and just like go all in on Bridgerton season two. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they're holding it so close to the end of the month that it's almost, you know, flirting with April. And I don't know. It's just going to be I hope there's some surprises. I just feel like this is a quieter month. I do think maybe this is the quiet, you know, the calm before the storm, because we know things are definitely going to start ramping up as the summer. We already know Stranger Things is coming in May. We've got Ozark is coming in April, correct?
End of April, yeah.
So, I mean, we're getting some releases for some of these other big titles, kind of anticipating some of the Netflix reality shows to sneak back into the schedule as we start getting into spring. So I feel like it's looking up like beyond March. Like, there's some great stuff to look forward to this month, of course, as we've kind of touched on in this episode. But I think it's definitely like building to something even more like come April.
Yeah, I agree. They're definitely trying, I think, to establish some new hits, I think, with this broad list of new releases. But, you know, people will watch. If you put it on there, people will watch.
Yeah, definitely. And so, you know, as we bring things to an end, just to recap some of our can't miss titles for the month, we've got, of course, Bridgerton season 2, The Last Kingdom season 5, The Adam Project, The Weekend Away, Windfall, Rescued by Ruby, Good Girls season 4, and Legends of Tomorrow season 7. So if you're looking for something new to watch on Netflix in March, maybe check out one of those shows and movies. Reed, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a blast talking about all the different stuff and having a little bit of a roast of Netflix. And yeah, so that's all the time we have for today. Thank you all for listening, and check back more.